Genesis chapter 7. My subject today is simply entitled Judgment in the Days of Noah. Look what we read in Genesis chapter 7, verses 10 to 12. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious, loving, heavenly Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee that we have before us this day again the precious Word of God. And O God, we do pray as we turn to Thy precious truth now that You would come and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit as we would seek to preach Thy Word. O God, we're so conscious that without Thee we can do nothing. But Lord, we cast ourselves upon Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. We pray today, Lord, for those in this service who are still unsaved, strangers to grace and to God, that You would speak to their hearts. And, O God, draw them to Christ. O God, we're so conscious that Thy Word is truth. O God, help us to see the truth of Thy Word today. And help us to believe the truth of Thy Word today. And especially those who are here not saved, Lord, that You would reveal unto them what's going to take place in this world in the days to come. Lord, therefore we do pray that You would be pleased, Lord, to touch hearts and to touch lives, to change hearts and to change lives. Even this Lord's Day, that there'll be new names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Save the lost. O God, have mercy upon the sinner. We thank Thee, Lord, and we praise Thee that You're able to save to the uttermost all that come to Thee through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for those here today without Christ, that even before this meeting goes out into eternity, even before this day goes out into eternity, that they might be safe in the ark, safe in Christ. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The judgment that came upon this world in the days of Noah was, of course, the judgment of the flood. And God sent the flood as a direct result of man's sin. This flood water was the greatest flood ever to take place on the face of this earth. There was never anything like it before, and there will never be anything like it again. And although God will judge this world again, the Lord will never again destroy this world by a flood. This was the promise God gave to Noah after he came out of the ark. And as a sign of God's promise, the Lord set a bow in the sky, the rainbow. That was God's promise. Not only to Noah, but to this earth, that God would never destroy this world again in a flood. But men and women, God's judgment is a fact that we read about in the Bible. And while God is a God of love and mercy and grace, we must never forget that He is also a God of justice and a God of wrath and a God of judgment. In the story of Noah so far, we have considered the grace of God and the mercy of God, in that God provided an ark, a place of safety for sinful man. And also, we have learned that God, in the days of Noah, gave man time to repent and turn from his sin. Of course, man refused to repent. Man refused to get into the ark. And man refused to heed the warnings of God. Well, the day came in the days of Noah when God sent judgment. When God sent the flood. And in this portion of scripture that we have read today, we learn about the judgment that came upon this earth in the days of Noah. As we consider this judgment this afternoon, I want you to observe a number of things about this judgment in the days of Noah. And if you're found in this service and you're not saved, I want you to listen very carefully to this message, because God has a very clear and very simple message for your heart. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will take the message and take the Word of God today and burn it upon your soul. Because men and women, judgment is coming again. The first thing I want you to notice here about judgment in the days of Noah is this. The reality of this judgment in the days of Noah. Man may try to deny the judgment of the flood in the days of Genesis. Days of Noah in the book of Genesis, rather. But the clear fact is this. The flood in the book of Genesis was a reality. Take a look there with me at Genesis chapter 7. And look there at verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed, verse 18, and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And look back at verse 10 again, the verse that we read earlier. And it came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Look what it says there. And it came to pass. The Bible describes the flood as a fact. And when we turn to Genesis chapter 7, and when we read this portion of scripture, the Word of God here clearly teaches us that this judgment that came upon the earth in the days of Noah really did happen. When you read the New Testament, the Son of God taught about the reality of the judgment of the flood. Keep your hand in Genesis chapter 7 just for a moment and turn over to Matthew's Gospel chapter 24 and look what the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 38 and 39. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, verse 39, and knew not until the flood came, underline that, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You'll notice there in that text of scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching about the ark, and he's teaching about the Genesis flood. And he teaches there very clearly that the flood, the judgment, was a fact and a reality. See, men and women, to deny the flood in the days of Noah is to deny God's word. Indeed, to deny the reality of the flood in the days of Noah is to call the Son of God a liar. Do you know, I would rather believe what the Lord Jesus Christ has said, and I would rather believe what the Bible says rather than believe what some ungodly scientist says. And there are those today who would try to tell us that the flood did not happen. That the book of Genesis is only fiction. But the book of Genesis is not fiction. The book of Genesis is fact. The word of the Son of God is good enough for me, and the word of the Bible is good enough for me. And that is all the proof that I need. God, 120 years before the flood came, declared that it would come, and the day came when God's word regarding the judgment of the flood came to pass. It came to pass. And that's what we have recorded here for us in Genesis chapter 7. God's word always comes to pass. And God in his word has pronounced judgment upon this world again. Now I know that in this 21st century, there are those, many, who do not believe in the judgment to come. And they do not believe in a day of wrath that is future. But the same Bible that declares that the flood was a fact in the days of Noah is the same Bible that declares that the judgment that is coming upon this earth in a future day is also a fact. Now again, keep your hand in Genesis chapter 7 and turn over with me to Acts chapter 17 for a moment. And here we have the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he's speaking in Athens, and this is what he preaches on Mars Hill, verse 30 and 31. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because, verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. There we have the Apostle Paul, and he's preaching the word of God, and he's declaring this fact that there is coming a day in the future when God will again judge this world for its sin. Now, of course, God will not judge the world in the future by a flood of water, but he will judge this world again. He will judge it by fire. But the point that I want to make is this, and I want you to see this very simply, but I want you to see this very clearly from God's word today. And especially if you're here and you're not saved and not born again of the Spirit of God, I want you to see this. As sure as the flood came in the days of Noah, as sure as judgment fell in the days of Noah, so judgment will fall again upon this earth. God has declared it. God's word has declared it. And because God has declared it, it will surely come to pass. Look with me there at another text of Scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And here we have again the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he's writing to the Christians of Thessalonica. And this is what he says to them concerning this future judgment that is to come upon this earth. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So he's speaking here of the second coming of Christ. Men and women, the Lord Jesus is coming again. Of that there is no doubt. Don't listen to the skeptic. Don't listen to the atheist. Don't listen to the unbeliever. As far as this book is concerned, and this is God's word and God's truth, the Lord Jesus is coming again. But look at verse 8. Here we have the judgment that will follow the second coming of Christ. Because when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, then it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. See the type of judgment that's going to take place in verse 8? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, if you're here today and you're not saved and not born again of the Spirit of God, when the judgment falls upon this earth, as it surely will, because God's word declares it, you will be destroyed. That's what the Bible tells us. All those who are without Christ,
All those who have refused His salvation. All those who have said no to His free offer of redemption will be lost and will be lost forever. And we're going to say more about that in a moment. But I want you to notice what God's Word says about future judgment. Oh, we're dealing with events in Genesis chapter 7 that happened thousands of years ago. But remember what we've been saying in the course of these studies. The story of Noah and the ark, Noah and the flood, is a story that's right up to date, because the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have read the words already, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the day of the Son of Man. There's a judgment day coming. And although men and women today may not believe it and accept it, and of course this world is marching headlong to hell with no fear of God and no concern about their souls, and that is the sad truth today in this generation in which we live, but it's just like the days of Noah. Because as we're going to find out again, even before this message is over, there were only 8 people saved in the ark. Only 8 people listened to the warning of God. I wonder today, are you listening to the warnings of God that He gives in His Word? The Bible says, indeed the Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And that's why when the Lord is speaking to you, you need to get saved, you need to get into the ark, you need to prepare for this judgment that is coming upon this earth. Future judgment upon sin will be a reality. Just as God's judgment fell in the days of Noah, God's judgment will fall again upon this earth. And the question that you need to answer honestly within your own heart is this: are you ready for the judgment? You see, Noah was ready for the judgment. His family, they were ready for the judgment because they had built the ark and they had stepped inside the ark. And my friend, as we have seen in these studies, the ark is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how you prepare for the judgment that is coming again is to be in Christ, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and saved by the grace of God. Therefore, are you in Christ today, trusting in Him alone as your own and personal Savior? Oh, the reality of the judgment. But turn back to Genesis chapter 7. I want you to notice something else here about this judgment. Notice, secondly, the severity of this judgment in the days of Noah. The flood in the days of Noah covered the whole earth. In other words, it was a universal flood. The flood covered every inch of land. And it rained, of course, for 40 days and 40 nights. So severe was this judgment that no one outside the ark survived. Take a look with me at verse 12 of Genesis chapter 7. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now look at verse 17 again. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. Verse 19. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. Listen to this. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. This was not just a small localized flood that affected a few people or affected a few countries. This flood in the days of Noah, it affected the whole world. That's what the Bible is teaching here. That's what Genesis chapter 7 is teaching. This was a judgment of the whole world. There was never judgment upon this earth like this before. This judgment was unique, because the whole world was covered in water. The highest mountain was covered in water. There we can see the severity of the judgment. Now, in our world today, there are localized floods in many places. We've all seen them on the news at times. And many people have suffered because of those localized floods. Many have lost their lives. But in the days of Noah, the judgment that fell was universal. The waters covered the whole earth. Sinner, when God's judgment falls upon this world again, it will be severe and it will affect the whole world. That text of scripture that I read out over there in Acts chapter 17 about the judgment day, let me read it to you again, because there's a phrase that I want to point out to you. It says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. Underline that little phrase. The world. When God's judgment falls upon this world again, this judgment that's spoken of in Acts chapter 17 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 is a judgment that will affect the whole world. It will affect you. Now, that's a truth that you need to learn today. You will not escape the judgment of God. There are many today who try to hide from God. They try to hide from God in their sin. They try to run away from God, put God out of their mind, thinking and believing that if they can put God out of their mind, then they will never have to stand before God. My friend, you cannot hide from God. And you certainly will not be able to hide from the judgment of God and the judgment which is to come upon this earth. In Revelation chapter 20, we read about this great day of judgment. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20. And if you're not saved, I want you to listen to these words. The book of Revelation, of course, is speaking about future events. And here we have a detailed account of what's going to take place when God judges this world again. In verse 11 it says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There we have recorded for us in the last book of the Bible this great day of judgment that's going to take place. Oh, my friend, if you're not saved, you will stand before God in judgment. This record in Revelation chapter 20 is speaking about a day in the future, a day when all the unsaved in every generation will stand before God, a day when sinners will receive judgment for their sins. You see, the judgment that is coming will be universal. Every person that ever lived upon this earth, whatever generation they lived in, they died without Christ, will stand before the great white throne judgment. And my friend, you will stand on that day before God. Oh, the reality of the judgment and the severity of the judgment. But notice something else. Go back to Genesis chapter 7 again. Notice the calamity of this judgment in the days of Noah. All those who died perished forever. Look what it says in verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in dry land died. Look at verse 23. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Every person outside the ark perished forever. Now, we've already made reference in the course of these studies that there were at least 1 billion people on the earth at that time. The number was probably a lot higher than that. But at least they've estimated at least 1 billion people was living upon the earth at that time. And all of those people, without exception, men and women, they all perished in the flood. What a calamity! There was no reprieve for them. There was no second chance. The judgment was final. There was no escape for those outside the ark. My, what a calamity that was. Everyone perished, and they perished forever. Sinner, when God's judgment falls upon this world again, you will perish forever. Hell is everlasting punishment. And when you end up in hell, there is no second chance. Matthew 18 verse 8, Matthew 25 verse 41, Jude 7. Read those verses, and there are many others. And those texts of scripture emphasize that the punishment of the second judgment is eternal. It's everlasting. What an awful calamity to receive God's judgment forever and forever and forever. The word everlasting in Jude 6, it means perpetual. It means unending. And that's the fate of everyone that dies without Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that is the fate of everyone when we're ushered into this day of judgment that is still to come upon this scene of time. Oh, my friend, I pray today that God's word will grip your heart and grip your soul. Oh, that I could only impress upon you your urgency to get right with God. These are not just words that we're saying. This is not just a sermon that we're preaching. These are the words of God. This is the message of God to this day and generation. You know, I'm sure they laughed at Noah when he preached about the judgment of the flood that was coming upon the world. I have no doubt that they laughed at him. They mocked him. They thought he was crazy. They didn't believe him. And when he started to build that ark, they thought he was mad. But then the day came when judgment fell, and the mocking ceased. But it was too late. And sinner, when God's judgment falls upon this earth, as it surely will again, it'll be too late to get into the ark at that point. Your opportunity will be gone. And there'll be no second chance. That's why you need to come to Christ today. That's why the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God's judgment is everlasting judgment. God's judgment is eternal judgment. That's why you need to be inside the ark. Noah and his family were saved from the flood because they were inside the ark. Look at the end of verse 23 again. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Now, we have already preached about the ark in this series of messages, and we have seen already the significance of the ark. And we have said that the ark is a type of salvation in Christ. And I'm not going to go into all those details again. But there's one point at the close of the meeting today that I want to draw your attention to about the ark. And it's a point that I didn't bring out when I preached about the ark last week. The ark was covered in pitch. Now I want you to see that. Turn back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. Here's God commanding Noah to make the ark. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark. Now underline these words. And shall pitch it within and without with pitch. I want you to underline that word pitch. The reason why God commanded Noah to cover the ark with pitch was in order to make the ark watertight. The word pitch refers to bitumen. We would call it tar today. Therefore, covering the ark with tar would make the vessel watertight. And of course, it had to be watertight if Noah was going to survive the flood water. But also this word pitch is translated atonement in Leviticus 17 verse 11. Isn't that interesting? Therefore, Noah and his family, when they were inside the ark, they had a covering that reminded them of the blood of atonement. They were covered in the blood. Is it any wonder that they escaped the judgment of the flood? Everyone that was inside the ark survived the flood. We've already noticed that. Men and women, the atonement of the soul is through the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ keeps the soul safe from the judgment of God. Let me ask you this question today. Are you covered in the blood? Are you saved by the grace of God? Oh, is it any wonder Noah was safe in the ark? My friend, all those who are in Christ are safe. And they're safe for eternity. And they're secure for eternity. Listen to these wonderful words in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Praise God, the wrath of God and the judgment of God will not fall upon me. Not because there's anything good in me. Not because I deserve it. Not because I'm better than anyone else. The wrath of God and the judgment of God will not fall upon me because I'm covered in the pitch. I'm covered in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of atonement. And because of that work that Christ accomplished upon the cross, and because of that work that he accomplished on the middle tree for me, thank God, when judgment falls upon this world again, I'll be safe, I'll be saved, I'll be delivered. Just as Noah was delivered from the flood of water that fell in his day, so I will be saved and safe when the judgment of God falls upon this world in the days that lie ahead. Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Remember before the children of Israel left Egypt, you remember the last plague that God sent? Every firstborn would die unless they were covered in the blood. And that's why the blood was so important. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When the death angel came into Egypt that night and saw the blood mark upon the door lintels, the side posts of the Israeli homes, the death angel passed on. They were covered in the blood. Oh, my friend, are you covered in the blood today? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer? Get inside the ark. You need to get in today. God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For 120 years, God had mercy upon that generation in the days of Noah. For 120 years, God's Holy Spirit strove with them and warned them as Noah preached. But they didn't listen. And if you don't listen and don't get inside the ark, you will be damned and you will be lost forever, because judgment is coming again. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the man Christ Jesus. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus, the one who laid down his life, a ransom for the many. We thank thee for the one who has not only died, but he has risen again. Oh God, we thank thee today for the safety of the ark. It bore the storm of judgment. Oh God, I pray for men and women in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church today that they might come into the ark. Oh, what an invitation it was that day when God said to Noah and his family, come into the ark. Come thou into the ark. Oh God, may men and women today realize that that invitation is still extended today. To come into Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh God, save each and every one here today from the judgment that is going to fall. And may they flee to the rock that is higher than them. May they flee to Christ. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.